We celebrate food and eating once a month in a special segment we call Savor. Our regular partner and segment producer is Will Smith, a Rogue Valley-based food stylist with a deep knowledge of food and its preparation. Will, welcome back to the studio.
Good morning. Happy spring.
Happy spring. Will keeps the focus on the seasons of food. That's why he's always aware of what season it is, on what is fresh and ready to eat now. So this month, the recipe is about spring greens. We'll talk about a salad coming up. And the discussion topic is about cultivating new farmers and generally getting new people involved in agriculture. For that, our guest is Bobby Wilson, the regional director, a regional director for Rogue Farm Corps. Hi, Bobby.
Hi, thanks for having me.
It's a pleasure to have you on The Exchange. Let me go back to Will for just a second. I mean, usually you bring in one farm, but this time, in essence, you're bringing in a whole bunch at once.
Well, you know, the whole idea of apprenticeship and mentors is very important to me. It's how I got started. I had a mentor for about 5 years, and I just think it's something really noble about offering people an opportunity to really, you know, get their hands dirty and try something new. And that's what this organization does.
So a lot of moving parts to Rogue Farm Corps. I know we've had you on the program before, or at least other parts of Rogue Farm Corps here, Bobby. But talk about the basic mission and some of the programs you do.
Yeah, so I think Will's comment about mentorship is really at the core of the work that we do. So Rogue Farm Corps is a nonprofit organization that trains and equips the next generation of farmers through hands-on experiences, and most of those experiences are at a number of commercial family farms throughout Oregon. So we offer training programs here in the Rogue Valley, as well as in Central Oregon and the Portland metro area. And that's really the bread and butter of the organization is connecting folks who want to experience farming and who want that direct mentorship opportunity, connecting them with farmers who have extensive knowledge and experience to share so that we can make sure that the future of Oregon's food system is in good hands.
You mentioned family farming. I know we've certainly talked for generations now about the decline in family farms and the rise of industrial agriculture. Is Oregon a little different in that respect?
Yeah, I mean, I think looking nationwide, we do have fewer farms than ever before. Right now, fewer than 2% of the American population are farmers, and that is the lowest number that we have ever seen in our country's history. So I don't know how Oregon as a state compares with those national statistics, but overall, we have seen a decline in the number of farms over time. And right now, there's an interest among a lot of people, particularly younger generations, in getting into farming. And so I think we have a really great opportunity right now to foster that interest and to help those people access the skills and knowledge and resources they need to enter the profession. Because as we all know, food is one of the most important things that we have, and farming is one of the most important jobs there is. So we need to make sure that we have our food system in more hands.
Well, that 2% of the population involved in agriculture is rather shocking historically, because I think anybody, if you go back to relatives born in the middle of the 19th century, there's a pretty good chance that quite a few of them were involved in agriculture.
Yeah, that's right. People used to be more involved in agriculture. We used to have much more farmers on the land, and we've seen a lot of consolidation over the last 100 years. A decline in the number of farms, and the size of farms has gotten much, much bigger. And so I think from an economic standpoint, that's kind of a risky scenario that we're pooling our food system and the economic activity in fewer and fewer hands. And a more resilient strategy would be to distribute that out and to have more food produced in more places and by more people. And I think that's from an economic and an environmental resilience standpoint that we'd be in a much better situation if we did that.
There were times in American history when, Earl Butz was Secretary of Agriculture, who said right out loud, you know, go big or get out in farming. Is there any kind of pressure like that anymore, or is it mostly market pressures?
Yeah, I think that get big or get out strategy has kind of ruled agriculture since that time. And we're kind of seeing what the consequences of that are right now. And so, yeah, I mean, you're exactly right. He said plant fence row to fence row, and we've really intensified agricultural production. And I think we've just extracted too much from the land, and we haven't put enough care and health back into the soil. And I think that's what we're that's part of what Rogue Farm Corps is trying to do, is to train the next generation of farmers specifically in practices that restore soil health and that protect our ecosystem. And we're trying to get away from that mentality of just and produce as much as possible without any regard for the impact that that production might have on the natural environment.
The earth is not a machine in that sense, is it?
Right, exactly.
Yeah. So you're from Oregon originally, aren't you, Bobby?
I am, yeah. I grew up in the Mid-Willamette Valley, so I'm from Albany, and now I'm based down here in beautiful southern Oregon and starting my own farming venture now, too. So doing that alongside the Rogue Farm Corps training program.
So in growing up, were you on a farm family, or was that something that came later in life?
Yeah, for me, it came later in life. I think I'm part of a generation of people who did not grow up on a farm or have the benefit of that direct hands-on experience or learning from family members or access to land. But I really came into it from a desire to eat healthy food, and I love to cook. And so that was kind of my entry point. And I hear that from a lot of people, that eating fresh local food is kind of the entry point into their interest in farming. And that's certainly where it happened for me when I was in college. So I went out and did a farm internship about 10 years ago, and I've been hooked ever since. And now I'm really glad to get the opportunity to provide that experience for more people who are interested in getting into agriculture.
Bobby Wilson, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange on this month's edition of Savor, our food segment with our stylist and producer, Will Smith, food stylist and producer, Will Smith. In the studio with me, Bobby Wilson is regional director for Rogue Farm Corps. You have questions, you have comments, join us on the exchange at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. And Bobby and Will both, as I was thinking about fresh food and the importance to both of you, I was wondering, and you can answer this in order. I'll ask you, Bobby, first. Can a person who's been around farms a long time be satisfied with food from a grocery store?
Oh, that's a good question. I don't know. I think there's a lot of availability of fresh food in the grocery store. So I think yes, but of course there is that satisfaction that comes from growing food yourself or having that personal relationship with the person who produced that food that really can't be replaced in the grocery store. And I think what we don't get in the store is the relationship. And that's really what's missing in that exchange, is that it's just a transaction. You don't know the person or all the people whose hands went into producing that food. And when you buy directly from a local farmer, or when you do all of the work to produce it yourself, you have that relationship, and that food means something, and it tastes better because of that relationship.
Now, Will, let me flip the question around for you and fresh food. Other than lottery tickets, will we ever catch you in a convenience store?
Doubtful. But again, this goes back to what we talk about so much on the show, is about, you know, really getting out there and supporting our farmers markets. You do get to meet the people that grow your food. And the beauty of it is, you go to a supermarket, everything's sort of streamlined, and you're not getting this variety of within one species. Like, you'll get romaine and iceberg at the grocery store, but you go to the farmers market, you can get mosh and baby iceberg and Mitsuna and Tatsoi and all this variety of things that is lacking from the grocery store. And also you really build those relationships with the people that are actually growing the food. And Bobby's right. It does taste better.
Well, I was going to ask you about that part of it, Bobby, though, whether people are shy. I mean, if the first time they've come to an event, one of the Meet the Farmer events, we're not used to talking to people in the grocery store, are we?
Yeah, that's right. But I think there is a desire for that connection. You know, people want to get out and meet farmers. And I think maybe there's some nervousness ahead of time, but I think the benefit of that opportunity and the ease that comes with getting to know the people who are involved in food and agriculture, I think kind of helps people to overcome any sort of nervousness that they might have with that. So, I think overall people just really desire that connection and it's difficult to replace with grocery store experience.
Does Rogue Farm Corps work on that particular set of skills somewhat? I mean, in talking to the public and public outreach and letting people know, I mean, rather than just, you know, getting in tune with the dirt and the plants and all that stuff.
Yeah, so we work in a number of different spaces. So we do have our direct training programs, and most of the topics that we focus on there are, direct farm management practices. We offer a series of classes or workshops throughout the growing season, and we offer those to our internship program participants so that they have a chance to every week go out to somebody else's farm and learn about a topic that's related to operating a small farm. So, for example, last week we were out at a farm, Daily Blessings Farm, learning about poultry management. And next week we'll be out at Red Butte's farm learning about weed management. And so we get to learn about a number of different topics related to farming and getting your hands in the dirt and actually doing it. But we also have other programs like our Farm Launch program that allows people to get into more of the business side of things and learn about things like business planning and taxes and land access and lease agreements and some of the more business side of things as well. So we have a number of different opportunities that are relevant to beginning farmers at different stages in their farming journey. And then I'll also mention, too, that for the wider community, we open up our workshops, our in-person classes, as space allows to people who are interested and somewhat involved in agriculture already, so that they also have an opportunity to join our intern cohort and learn alongside us.
You know, in your own journey, was there a time when you just felt like your head was going to explode? I mean, just the various subject matter you just talked about, and knowing about the kinds of plants, or dealing with livestock or poultry, or having to know about insects and the things that can attack your plants, all that stuff, and the business skills and all the other things that go with that. This is like several fields of information all have to be contained in one head.
Yeah, it's true. And I guess I still feel like my head's going to explode. as I'm trying to facilitate learning among other people, I'm still in the process of learning myself. And it does take time. And I think that's why learning from an experienced farmer is so valuable, because you're right, there is so much that's involved in farming, especially when you're directly marketing to consumers. You're not only involved in the production side of things, you're also involved in the distribution and the retail of that product. And, there's just so much involved that you're really taking on every step in what is otherwise a pretty compartmentalized supply chain. You're doing all of that yourself. And so there's so many skills involved. And I think one of the ways ways that we see people trying to overcome the challenges with that is by working together. It really, it's very difficult for one person to have all of those skills and all of that knowledge to run a successful farm. And so more and more we're seeing teams of people wanting to get into farming together, whether it's family members or friends. And so I think that that's a way to really distribute that out, because one person just can't be good at everything. Or if they are, they're very exceptional. Right. And we see some examples of that too.
Yeah, but teamwork helps, sure, that you share some of the burden and share some of the knowledge too. Will, from your perspective, from going out clearly and meeting people who are involved with food in all aspects for so many years now, has it gotten a lot easier over time? Do you have to travel less far to find people who are growing the food?
No, I really find that there's a lot under your nose that you don't really see. Again, I can't emphasize enough the joy of farmers market and actually meeting the people that are doing this work. And as you said, it is a mammoth undertaking, I think, to be a farmer, and I love this organization because it is about sharing the wealth, sharing the troubles, sharing, all the information that you actually need, and people, it's good to have a family that you can kind of count on.
Indeed. So you were talking about variety that you can find if you just look a little further, not just going for there's cucumbers. It turns out there's several kinds of cucumbers. And in fact, I asked about that when I, this time I tried the salad in advance, so I'd have the green stuff in my teeth all through the segment. But it's the Savor Spring Green Salad is Will's recipe for this month. And so what are those long green strips?
So there's some pea shoots in there. There we have some mash, we have some mitsuna, we have some baby romaine. I also did thin strips of asparagus, sort of like all the spring flavors, some Oregon hazelnuts, and then a very, very the thing about spring greens is they don't have strong flavors, so you don't want to use a strong vinegar. A balsamic is out. So champagne vinegar or and in this case, I use lemon juice. And, you know, I really do love walnut oil for salads. Walnut oil is a bit pricey right now, so I used olive oil. Mm-hmm. But walnut oil would probably be my first choice for the spring green because it's just that nutty flavor.
You know, salad in the morning didn't sound particularly appealing, but this is good stuff.
And, it is yummy.
And it's a nice light touch on the dressing, too, you were saying. So I can certainly taste the garlic in there. God bless you for that.
Yes, always.
And but everything else kind of you get the it's a good mix of flavors.
And then I also did a little crouton with naan. Mm-hmm. So it's just a softer, everything's a bit softer in flavor and in texture because those spring greens are so light and tender.
Yeah, I'm going to have to try that to make my own croutons. This looks like fun, although I imagine there's kind of a fine line there because you don't want to get it too crispy and toasted.
Easy.
Easy, okay, good. I love when you say things are easy.
Yes.
Will Smith, our food segment producer, Savor is the segment. He's back here on the Jefferson Exchange. Bobby Wilson, the guest, the regional director for Rogue Farm Corps. Bobby, you apparently like to cook as well as to make food, so talk about your favorite things to cook.
Oh my gosh, yeah, there are so many good things to cook. You know, I really like to just use whatever I have available, whatever I have on hand, and kind of get creative. And a lot of times that ends up being either a soup or some sort of a curry. I love recipes where I can just kind of throw a bunch of vegetables together and simmer them in a really strongly flavored sauce. I think that soups and curries tend to work pretty well for my cooking style because you really can't go wrong and you can change it up and have something a little different each time.
Is your own farm organic or close to organic? And does Rogue Farm Corps take a particular position on organic or not?
Yeah, so I think organic certification is really tough for a lot of small farmers. So we see that a lot of the farmers in our network use organic practices but are not necessarily certified organic. I'm just getting started with my own farm, and I also plan on doing organic practices but not necessarily going for that certification. And so they're kind of it's really up to individual farmers' circumstances as far as whether that works for them. But the it is difficult, just the certification process and the cost involved with that. But I think in general, we do support sustainable forms of agriculture, and the term restoration agriculture is used a lot, and regenerative agriculture, and so those words are kind of buzzwords that we hear a lot these days. But just generally describe farming practices that put more in than they take out. And so that's one of the stewardship, land stewardship is one of our core values. And that's something that all of our interns get to experience when they're out on the farms, and something that all of our host farmers and teaching farms really embody.
With Will's help, and we also talked this week to Douglas Smith with the Black to the Land program at Cal Poly Humboldt, you know, we've been talking to younger people interested in farming. From what you can see, are there enough of them, Bobby, to work the land when boomers get too old for it?
Yeah, well, I think not. So that's one of the challenges that we face right now, but also one of the greatest opportunities, that our farming population is aging, and that means that a lot of the land that is currently owned and managed by some of these farmers is going to change hands within the next couple of decades. And so that's why we need to make sure that we have the next generation of farmers trained and equipped with the resources and knowledge that they need to be able to take on this this responsibility of effectively and sustainably managing these lands and also producing food for our communities. And so I think the short answer is no, we don't have enough people involved in agriculture, and that's where we really need to make sure that we're bringing new people in, and particularly bringing people from communities that have been excluded from agriculture, excluded from accessing land and wealth, like Black, Indigenous, and people mm-hmm. of color, LGBT farmers, veterans, low-income people. We're really trying to prioritize getting more of those folks involved in agriculture by addressing some of the barriers that have prevented them from getting started. So one of the exciting things that we have right now is our scholarship campaign, the Future Farmers Fund. We have a goal of raising $6,000 so that we can offer scholarships, particularly to help those folks that have been historically excluded in accessing our programs at no cost. So if you're interested in that, check out our website.
Okay, and we are linked to that website from ours at jeffexchange.org, along with Will's recipe for the month. Final thoughts from you, Will?
You know, it's such an important job. This is something that you ingest. This is something that keeps you alive.
Keeps you alive, yes.
It is a very noble profession, and so I urge people to get involved.
We have an email here from Becca in rural Lane County who says, my dad was from rural Indiana, and he was not a social person. So I remember being surprised when on our yearly visits there, he would wave at everybody he saw driving farm equipment, tractors, et cetera. He said, that's just what people do. It's part of the culture.
Very
you want
sweet.
To see a lot more waving, I guess, and a lot more people able to wave, I guess, Bobby.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. One of the things that I love about dirt roads and gravel roads is the practice of waving at the person in the car coming towards you. And I think that community feel is something that you really get in rural communities and in agriculture.
Yes.
All right. Well, thanks so much for sharing the story of Rogue Farm Corps with us. There's a lot to learn about Rogue Farm Corps. We've just scratched the surface. And again, we are linked at our website, jeffexchange.org. Thanks to Will Smith once again for bringing in Bobby Wilson, Regional Director for Rogue Farm Corps. Thank you, Bobby.
Thank you for having me.
You bet. Thank you, Will.
Thank you.
Thanks for the salad recipe. All online again at jeffexchange.org.